Well, this weekend has been SUNY Upstate's Alumni Weekend. Alumni from all over the country have returned. The Distinguished Alumnus Award was given to two doctors, both of whom returned to receive their honors. It happens that both gentlemen are Syracuse natives. Dr. Anthony Visco, who graduated in 1993 from Upstate School of Medicine, received the Distinguished Young Alumnus Award. And Dr. Welton Gersony was given the Distinguished Alumnus Award. He's not so young as Dr. Visco, but he's young at heart for sure, and he's on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Gersony.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And congratulations on the award. You graduated a few years ahead of Dr. Visco. When did you graduate?
I graduated in 1959.
1959. So
yes.
We're looking at 50 years.
Just about.
50 years. Long time, which means you've been a doctor for a long time, too, then.
Yes, I have.
Now, I have a list of credentials here for you. It says you are the professor of pediatrics at Columbia University and also at Weill Cornell Medical College. You've spent 35 years as the director of pediatric cardiology at Columbia Cornell, and you've supervised 110 fellows in pediatric cardiology. That's a lot of specialists. And it says you've also published more than 300 articles and chapters about heart disease. Did you ever sleep in these years?
Well, we're very proud of the training because it's a relatively small subsection of pediatrics, and there's about 1,500 pediatric cardiology boards certified in the country, and we trained 110 of them, which is quite a bit from one institution.
That is. That absolutely is. And if we think about pediatric cardiology, that seems like such a specialty, operating on the hearts of small children, babies.
Yes. Well, it's a relatively new specialty as we look at the rest of medicine, in that for centuries, no one would want to even touch the heart. It's beating. It's the seat of St. Valentine's Day and all the issues that go along with how
Everything.
We look at our heart.
That's right.
And so it was a long time before people sort of got the nerve to go ahead and do something about the heart, and it was in the 1930s with the first what we call closed heart procedures, where a procedure was done that didn't require a cardiopulmonary bypass. And then in the 1950s, the specialty began to grow, and it's now certainly the largest subspecialty, in that heart disease occurs more often in a child was born with a problem than any other system in the body.
I would think so. I would think as specialized as the heart is, there would be that many more things that could go wrong with it before the baby was even born.
Exactly right.
And you actually studied under one of the pioneers in this entire field, didn't you?
Yes, I have an endowed chair. It's called the Alexander S. Natus Chair of Pediatric Cardiology at Columbia. It's named after my teacher who was at Harvard when I was there. And it was interesting because I was honored by a chair being put in my name, but you can't be in the chair.
You can't sit in
your
own chair.
With your own name, so they went ahead and named it until I retire someday.
I see.
For my my professor, which was very, very nice.
Very interesting.
And he was an older man, but he knew about it and was very happy.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And certainly you know about your chair, so when somebody's that's terrific. But let's go back, because you actually were born and raised in Syracuse, weren't you?
Yes, that's one of the satisfactions I got from getting this award, totally unexpected. I certainly appreciated it and very honored by it, and it was a wonderful ceremony giving it to me, because, one, it's always best and wonderful to be treated, to be recognized by your own medical school, despite all the other honors you might get. And second, because I'm a basic Syracusan, it's in the blood.
It's in your blood.
My red cells have little S's on them.
There you go. Well, tell us about growing up in Syracuse, because this is actually part of your medical school story, too, isn't it?
Yes, I went to Charles Andrews. I was brought up by an aunt and uncle in Syracuse. And in the third grade, it's an interesting story because I made friends that are still my friends today, and there were five or six of us that I guess we decided in the third grade we'd all be doctors, although I don't remember the actual meeting.
Oh, my gosh.
We have. And actually, at the ceremony on Friday, two of my best friends were there that were still in contact right from the third grade, both physicians and alumni of SUNY.
That's terrific. Now, what I'd like to remind people is Charles Andrews School really hasn't been a school for many years. It's now a senior citizens apartment center, I believe, right over near Elmcrest Children's Home on Salt Springs Road.
And I ought to go back there.
Yeah, you should.
Started there in grammar school and end up in the senior
You could be there too.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But it was the Lemoyne area.
I'd rather wait, though.
Oh, you. Well, it sounds to me like you still have work to do.
Yes.
But it's over in the Lemoyne part of the city for people that might not know that. And you said you made these friends and you saw them on Friday when they gave you the award. You all ended up in medical school. And where did your other two friends end up? You ended up in New York City.
One of them is in Syracuse, a physician there. And the other is in New
Jersey.
Do you
want to tell us their names?
He's a surgeon. Willard Cohen is the one in Syracuse.
Okay.
He's an internist, cardiologist.
Uh-huh.
Not a pediatric cardiologist, but for grown-ups.
Yep.
And the other is a surgeon in New Jersey, Albert Frankel.
Oh, my gosh. And none of you have retired, because you're all of retirement age, aren't you?
I think the other two are pretty much retired.
Are they? Okay, very good.
I just keep going on.
Very good. So you came back to Syracuse, and I hope you maybe had some salt potatoes while you were here and a few other Syracuse treats.
Well, we have them all the time. I've had family there, so I've been to Syracuse quite often.
You have. That's great. That's great.
I went to Nottingham.
Oh, you did?
Yes, and went to Syracuse University.
So you
and then to SUNY Upstate.
Well, it must have been a strange thing for you to actually leave Syracuse to go off to school. I know you went to Harvard for a while.
Yes, I first went to Western Reserve in Cleveland, Ohio for pediatrics.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 2 years in the as an Army physician, I went to Harvard Boston Children's for cardiology.
Very good.
Went to Texas for 3 years and then settled in Columbia.
Ah, so
in
you
New
were,
York City.
You really were all over the place.
Yeah, for that early period. That's,
you know,
that's
I would,
common, though.
I would love to learn.
During training.
Oh, it is. Okay. To go to Texas, you mean?
Well, no, to go to many different places.
I see, for your medical training.
To learn how the world works.
I believe you're right. Well, Dr. Gersony, you know, I would really like to ask you more about the pediatric cardiology as a specialty. We touched on it just a little bit. Would you be able to join us at another time?
Well, I'd be delighted.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
And thank you very much for having me.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. The world's most life-changing question, or asking our way to balance success and happiness. You know how we all have multiple tugs on our attention much of the time? And how we get caught up in one part of our lives, neglect others, and end up paying a big price full of regret? Or how we go impulsively with our gut and misusing our judgment to choose balance? And how we let others decide for us and get the life they want. What's the checkup from the neck up solution to these ancient human problems? Well, actually, it involves checking up and down, both thoughts and gut feelings. But first, let's think of ourselves as a set of concentric circles, one around the other. The center circle is our essential self, our core values, feelings, and energy. When push comes to shove, who I am. The outer circles are the roles we play in various contexts in our lives. Our most valued ones are nearest the center and others further out. So, for example, my closest to my center is my family context, with me in roles of husband and father. Next one out is work, as a psychologist, and so on. One cool thing is we set up our own circle system. At life's critical forks in the road, I take a moment to let go of the pulls this way and that. Think about what roles are involved. Relax and connect with how I feel in my center. And knowing the feeling in my heart, I ask, what's the most centered choice for my whole life right now? Rather than a no-brainer, choices become two-brainers, using both thinking brain judgment and feeling brain in so-called emotional intelligence. An example, about 10 years ago, I was in a board meeting for an organization I value a lot. The board was looking for a time to meet again in 6 months. Several possibilities, including Halloween weekend. Our kids were little, and as a family, we loved Halloween. Most board members, including the president, preferred the holiday weekend to meet, and they wanted me at the meeting. Yikes. Conflict with potential costs on both sides. So, I took a moment, thought about my circles, connected with my love for my kids, and knew I was not willing to miss our Halloween fun. If the group met without me, fine. I told the board, including why. A few people laughed, the president wasn't pleased, but the group picked the other weekend, and it turned out win-win by sparking a move that made the group more family-friendly. I may have paid a price in my place in the organizational pecking order, but one I would never regret paying. I knew that there are endless chances to say, I make a motion that. But how many chances are there to carve the pumpkin and say to our kids, nice mask, before they put it on? I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening. And hey, everybody, nice mask to you, too. Isn't it a little early, though?